All right, good morning. All right, I hope everybody's doing well. Welcome. So glad you guys are here. My name is Justin Faniff, part of the teaching team here at River Run. If I haven't had a chance to meet you, and excited to continue our series on unlikely families, what we've been talking about the last month or so. And I'm excited to be here. And I think sometimes, you know, the Lord is so good at humbling us and reminding us that, hey, I'm the one doing this and you're a part of it. And you know, I can move through you. But don't make no mistake about it, I am the one that is doing this, and that is case in point that when you wear white, you're going to spill coffee on it, so that there's a spot up here. You might notice it, you might not. You'll be looking at that the rest of the day, but it kind of humbles you a little bit, right? So we're talking about unlikely family, and the thing that I kept thinking about when I was thinking of this idea of unlikely was, what are the odds? Right? What are the odds? It's a question we ask a lot, perhaps, right? When we see different things that happen that come together, and we think, man, what are the odds of that happening? Right? So one of the things that I thought of immediately was, like, you know, March Madness, you know, where it's like everyone wants to fill out a bracket, and it's like no one's ever done the perfect bracket, and Warren Beatty is even willing to throw up a gajillion dollars just to, you know, just, hey, if you can do it, but it's, the chances are insane. You know, it's like, what are the odds? But the wonderful, amazing thing is that our God is in the business of what are the odds. He's like, I'm the odds, right? I can do that. And one of the things that we talk about with our partners of the Emmaus Bible Ministries, that they do such great work about biblical literacy and how we, you know, can engage our Bible better. And they have a phrase for, if we could boil down the narrative of the Bible into one sentence, not easy to do, but if you could, it would be something like, a faithful God to unfaithful people. A faithful God to unfaithful people. And you can see how God is faithful because he's continually going against the odds that we see as impossible, or at least highly, highly, highly unlikely. And we've been looking at it through this idea of, we are all a part of God's family. And this year, we've been looking at, we're all a part of God's family, all of us in here, people outside of here, the large family of God. But also, how can we invite others into this family in a way that is inviting, that is in a way that is loving, and all of those kinds of things. And so that's what we're going to kind of look at today as well. And the way that we looked at it is that, as you saw in the video there, he started out with 12 men, these 12 men. And it's easy for us to, and Pastor Tyler and Caleb have gone through this, but it's easy for us to kind of read through the Gospels and go, oh yeah, okay, Matthew and James and John, okay, yeah, and Peter, and got it, okay, and Bartholomew and Nathaniel. And we're going through the names, and it's hard for us sometimes to grasp that they all came from different backgrounds and different walks of life. But the one thing they all had in common was Jesus. It was Jesus, right? And if you took any part of that outside of him, it would not go well, okay? So you think of somebody like Simon the Zealot, all right, who was militaristic in his way and in the group that he was a part of in trying to keep with the old traditions of the Jews and of God's law, right? And then he finds out outside of Jesus in the street that Matthew is a tax collector. How do you think that's going to go, right? Probably not very well, but because Jesus was that glue, that thing that brought them together, as unlikely as it was, it worked, and it spread like wildfire, and here we are 2,000 years later, plus, right? A little over that now. So what I want to do is look at this idea of how we can continue to move forward in that, but we have to be careful of some pitfalls that are a part of it, because Jesus has to remain that focus. He was the one that started it, and he has to remain that. Before we do, let me pray for us, and then we'll start diving in here. Lord, we're so grateful for you. We just sang that you are the good shepherd. And thank you that you are. And we just pray that you would lead us as that good shepherd here this morning, that you're with us. We know that you're with us. Pray that you would speak to our hearts, to our minds, for what you desire for us to hear this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So probably the best analogy, or one of the best analogies I think that we can think of with this idea, is being a fan of a sports team, right? So maybe you're a fan of a sports team, or you know somebody who's a big fan of a sports team, right? And the one thing that brings us all together is that team, right? And so much so that, like, so I'm a Green Bay fan, right? And we are one of those franchises. We're not the only one, but we're one of those franchises that, like, I don't know if you know about Wisconsin, gets kind of cold, right? So when it's, like, freezing out there, and there's that group of people, usually guys, come on, guys, right, that are out there without shirts on. And you're like, that's a questionable decision at best, right? But you're also like, except they're a fan of my team, so it's fine, right? You kind of go with it. You let it slide. Or maybe you're with somewhere and somebody says something that's not so great, and you're like, hey, what did you say? And they turn around and they've got the green and gold on and the G, and you're like, ah, you're good. You're fine. You're right. And we have to be really careful because, yes, that's the thing that can bring us together. But if we also fall into the dangers of showing favoritism, that can be problematic. And that's what we're going to look at a lot today. So I want us to think about two things here as we start out, all right? Because what if we're not careful, if we begin to play favorites, either within the family of God or outside of the family of God for people that we might be interested in bringing into the fold, into the family of God, it undermines the work that God is doing. It undermines the work that God is doing because God, we are all God's favorite. All of us, every single one of us. Seems kind of impossible, but we are. We are all God's favorite. Jesus did not come to die for a few of us, for some of us, for most of us. He came to die for all of us. Therefore, we are all his favorite. So I want us to think about this. Everyone has a purpose in Christ, and everyone has gifts and talents in Christ. Everyone has a purpose in Christ, and everyone has gifts and talents in Christ. Maybe you've been through a period in your life when you're like, I don't feel like I do. I don't feel like I do. Maybe you're in that part right now. I don't know what my gifts and talents are. I don't know what my purpose is. You do have one, I promise you. Have you talked to the Lord about it? Have you asked him? Have you stepped into that? Have you leaned into that? Because, hear me, okay? I want you to hear me. This is really, really important for every single one of us, okay? Right here, just you and me. Nobody else is watching. It's fine. You are gifted and talented, and you are loved 100%. If you take nothing else away from this morning, you are gifted and talented. He has set you aside for a purpose, and you are loved. So, when we move forward in the family of God, we have to remember that, yes, some people have gifts and talents that maybe are a little bit more visible. Some people might have gifts and talents or purposes that, you know, are we see as better. Okay, we see, God does not see that. And if we're not careful, what it can do is a couple different things. For that particular person, what it can do is create cults of personality. It can create celebrity worship, all right? Misdirected favor, okay? And we've seen this, right? We've seen this. It can cause a lot of issues because we're putting a human up on a pedestal that human was never meant to be on. And so all that focus goes on them, which puts a ton of pressure on them, and that's not helpful for them. At the same time, what it's doing is you're looking at them as you as an individual, and you're going, man, I wish, man, I wish, man, I wish. And what are you forgetting and denying? He's gifted you too. He's given you talents and a purpose as well. And so if we're not careful, it can cause self-esteem issues, jealousy, personality, you know, personal disqualification, discouragement, and worse. So God's not interested in playing favor. We're all his favorites. He has no hierarchy because he says, I've gifted you this way, I've gifted you this way. The goal is that we all work together towards me. His glorification, his praise. So it can't be somebody else that is your focus. It has to be Jesus. Which begs the question, is Jesus your focus? Is Jesus your focus? The things that we focus on the most are the things that get the most of our attention, yes? So if we're not focusing on him, he's not getting our attention. We're not gleaning what could possibly be our gifts and our talents and trying to figure it out, what our purpose might be, because we're not focused on it. We're focused on all these other things. So is he your focus? We have to be really careful with that. But he's the one that can give us the entire picture of ourselves. Nobody else can. I could go get a personal trainer, I could go get a life coach, and they might help me with certain aspects of my life, but they can't do the entire picture, number one. They can't, you know, show me exactly what my purpose is, number two. And number three, they actually might not encourage me to step out in faith into something that's gonna take the Lord to do it anyways, which is what we're supposed to do. But we naturally are not wanting to do that, right? So we want to focus on Jesus, or as corny as it might sound to say, right? We want Jesus to be our favorite because when he is that, we know that we are focused on him. Everything else is there. We know that we're focused on him. He is the only one who can sustain us. He's the only one who can sustain us. So yes, there are certain things that you see, gifts and talents that people have that might be a little bit more visible, but it doesn't mean it's better. He has something for you as well. So as we embrace diversity, because we've talked about this as well, we have to be careful. We can't play favorites, okay? Because we've all been differently abled. We've all been differently talented, differently, skilled, all those kinds of things, which is fantastic. It's beautiful. The diversity is part of the beauty. God did it that way. It's vital. It's important that it's been so diverse. So we're going to see that here in a little bit. But it doesn't mean that one is better. We all have a purpose for his kingdom. Writing, music, art, hospitality, engineering, teaching, administration. Did you know that was one? Yeah, administration. If you're not an administrator, you're like, what? Right? If you are an administrator, you're like, yeah, right? My wife's one. That's how I, that's how I get by, right? But an example of this, okay? Two things. An example of this is that mindset that she has, and when we're thinking about this idea of focus, okay? So at the beginning of the year, we wanted to say, hey, how can we see God better move in our lives? Big, small, doesn't matter. And I promise you, the more that you do that, the more you're going to be able to see where he might be moving you and where your purpose might lie, and maybe even glean where your gifts and talents are if you're not in those right now, right? And so what we did is we got a dry erase board and we put it in our bathroom. And at any point, if we feel that we've seen God move or God did something in our life, it does not matter how small it is, we write it on the board every month. Then we take a picture of it, and then we, erase it, and we do it for the next month, right? And it's been amazing to see. Just even the littlest things. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We see you moving. We see you working. We see you doing it. Doesn't mean it's in easy things, but it helps us to see him and see where he's guiding us and where our purpose might be. It helps us to focus on him, and it helps him to be our favorite and understand where other people might be helping us to work in those things as well. So don't knock the administration people. They're very helpful, all right? Very helpful. So what we're going to do, because the Apostle Paul talks about this really, really well. He was a follower of Jesus, after Jesus, maybe the most influential person in history. And he was somebody that understood this so well for multiple different reasons, which we will see. And he spoke to this directly. And here's the really cool thing. Paul helped to start a church in Corinth, okay? So he had a very deep relationship with these people. So when we read 1st and 2nd Corinthians, there's a lot of personal development and a personal interpersonal stuff and language in there that you will see. And so it's awesome that we have a chance to see this because Paul talks directly about this. Because what we have to understand is what are the gifts and talents in me? And I have to embrace that. And I have to recognize that. And I have to see where God wants me to move with that. And it's not bragging. And it's not being overconfident or arrogant. It's okay to say, yes, this is the way that God has made me. And this is the way that God has talented me and gifted me. And I'm going to use that. Now, we can go too far and become in that way. But to embrace those is great. He wants us to, right? And Paul understood this. Paul understood this. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that's what will be for the large portion of today. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you guys want to kind of head on over there, it'll be on the screens or it's on the seat back in front of you, in that QR code in our worship guide there, and you could follow along. Paul is writing to the Corinthians where he has heard that there have been some issues that have cropped up. And so in the 1st and 2nd Corinthians letters that he sends to them, he's going through a lot of these issues and trying to help give, advice and direction on how we can do this. And he actually speaks to this in his letter here. So starting in verse 3, he says, "For you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other." So what is the evidence? How can I see that, sin is still kind of a ruling over you, even though you've been freed? You've been, it's still that kind of inward struggle, the new kingdom and the old kingdom within, God's kingdom and our kingdom, so to speak, the world's kingdom in ourselves kind of warring. I can see that is still something you're battling because you're having jealousy, right? right? You're jealous of this person, of their gifts and talents, or how successful they've been, or the money that they have, or the possessions that they have, whatever it might be, right? I can see that. Doesn't that prove that you're controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? You see, the people of the world are looking for people and things to fill the God-shaped hole in their heart. We should be, just looking for God because that's who we know fills the hole. Are we is a different question, but that's who we should. So if we're living like people of the world, that means we're looking at all these other things to fill that void. But God is the only one that can. So he says, when one of you says, I'm a follower of Paul, and the other says, I follow Apollos, who was another speaker, traveling speaker and missionary at the time, aren't you acting just like people of the world? On either one of that, I'm a follower of Paul, I follow Apollos. Did you get Jesus in there anywhere? No, that's a problem, right? You can have personal preferences, that's fine. We have a teaching team here at River Run. You can have preferences, that's fine. It's fine if you select somebody, you know, you perhaps like somebody and prefer them, that's okay, all right? But if you say those words, I follow, fill in the blank, and I follow and I am subscribed to, fill in the blank, and it's not Jesus, you already have issues. You already have a problem. Because Jesus is the only one. And hear me, as I kind of, you know, joke a little bit here. Please, 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 and I think my fellow speakers would echo this, do not hold us up as the person to follow, okay? Please don't do that, because I'm going to fail you. I will absolutely fail you, because I was not meant to do that. Jesus is. And that's what Paul's saying. I can't do it. I can't be the one. I'm not the bread of life. I don't have the living waters. Jesus does. I didn't die for your sins. He did. I didn't defeat the grave. He did. Not me. I'm just simply trying to point you to him. If you like the way that I point you to him, cool, great, nice. If you like the way Apollos does, great, no problem. But it's Jesus is the point at the end of the day. And he goes on. He says, or actually first, am I influenced by the person because of their work for Jesus or because of what they can possibly do for me? I think is a great question for us, okay? Now, this has two components to it. Within God's family, do I find myself drawn to somebody simply because they help encourage me to be better in Christ? Am I drawn to this person because when I'm around them, they give me the peace of Christ? I just feel better and more peaceful after I have a conversation with them. Am I drawn to this person because they're willing to challenge me in a loving way to be better and to be more like Christ? Or am I more drawn to them because I like going to their really nice house? They got a boat, right? They got connections that can maybe get me, which again, that's okay. Some of that kind of stuff is fine. There's nothing wrong with those things, but where's the focus and what's the intention? And that's what we have to be careful of. Pastor Tyler talks about shadow motives that we can have sometimes. We have to be really careful of those. We have to check those all the time. And it's the same way when we maybe are looking to invite somebody into the family of God, invite them to church, invite them to a small group, simply just have a conversation with them about Jesus. Am I doing that because I legitimately want them to understand how having a relationship with Jesus is the absolute best thing that you can do, and having an intimate relationship with Jesus will change your life and you can't do anything better in it? That's great. But if I'm doing it because they're pretty wealthy or they've got some pretty good connections, and maybe I even think I've got the great motive of them coming into God's family then helps God's family. But then we're just doing God's work for him. You don't think he's got it? He's got it. Trust him. He's okay. He's got all the people that he needs, and he's going to continue to add to his number, right? We talked about Acts 2:42-47, right? The early church where we see everyone was sharing. And every day it says God added to their numbers, not this person and that person, God added to their numbers as they were the picture of what God desired for his family, for his family. So when we are talking to other people, either within God's family or outside of God's family, why do we find ourselves influenced by them? Is it because they help us draw closer to Jesus, which is the goal, what it should be? And I need to be asking that about myself as well when people are coming to me. Or is it for some other reason? Because that other reason might be nice in the moment, but is not going to sustain us. Jesus is the only one that can. He is the only one that can. So he goes on, Paul does, in verse 5. He says, after all, who's Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. That's all we were doing. We were just doing what we simply believed God was asking us to do. I planted the seed in your hearts. He helped start the church and get the church going and all of that. Apollos watered it, but it was God that made it grow. That's the most important thing. Does God use us? Yes, absolutely. He can use us the best when we're willing to lean into and ask him what our purpose is and our gifts and our talents and how he wants to use them for his glory and his kingdom. That's when it works best. But he absolutely wants us to be a part of things. We've talked about this before when we have the conversation of, you know, you go to somebody and you're sharing the good news of Jesus with them. If they make the decision to accept Christ and their heart has changed and their mind has changed, make no mistake about it. That is the Spirit of God, not you. You didn't do that work. He might have had you as a part of it, which is really cool and really great, and you were being faithful in talking to that person, but make no mistake about it that God is the one that makes it grow. God is the one that makes it happen. He is the reason, not us. Thank goodness, right? Thank goodness. That's a lot for us. So he goes on, verse 7. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. I can't be jealous because somebody, let's say, brought somebody to, like, think about what I'm saying right here in this sentence. I'm jealous of that person because they're the ones that brought them to Christ. I should be celebrating, right? I should be overjoyed because God is the one that makes the seed grow. It doesn't matter who does the planting. It doesn't matter who does the watering. We're all working together in this. Because here's the other thing, guys. If you're looking at some of these gifts and talents that have more glamour, as we would say as humans, right? Or they have more focus on them, or they have more, you know, clout or whatever it is. We would not do well in those. We would not do well in those. We say, I wish, I wish, I wish. But do you know the pressure that comes with some of those? You don't want that heat. And at the same time, you're focused on somebody else and not yourself and what he's gifted you as. And that's what Paul's saying. Paul's recognizing his role as a planter. He's recognizing Paulos's role as a waterer. But God's the foundation and God's the one that makes it go the whole time. God is the reason, not either of them, not any of us. So the more we embrace that God is the foundation, that he's each given us gifts and talents. I'm a planter, you're a waterer, whatever it is. We're all working together. The better we can all move towards the goal, praising him, glorifying him. God does not play favorites on what gifts and talents are best. He wants them all working in tandem. It's the same way with sin. God does not have a hierarchy of sin. Okay? We do. We're like, oh, that one's worse than this, and this one's worse. It's all to him the same. We are not trusting him. We're moving in a different direction than where he desires for us to be. We're going against him, right? It's all sin to him. It doesn't matter what it is. We have that, but he doesn't. And in the same way, he doesn't play favorites. He doesn't play favorites. He wants us all working. He's like, yes, I've gifted that person, but guess what? Here's what's beautiful. I've gifted you like this. And if you just understand what I would like to do with you, it's going to be awesome. I promise. And he goes on, verse 10. Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. We all have a purpose in him. And it doesn't matter that it's different. It's supposed to be. Are we embracing what ours is? Are we embracing what our purpose is? Or are we focused on somebody else's, wishing we had that? Which demeans us and puts a whole lot of pressure on that person that they are never meant to handle. Jesus is the foundation. Jesus is the foundation, right? Because Paul would be one of the first ones to tell you, right? He was a terrible speaker. He was a good letter writer, but he was a terrible speaker. Did you know that in Acts, they say it basically says he's so boring that while he was talking, a dude fell asleep and fell out of a window and died? I've been preaching for a little while. I hope that never happens to me. Okay? And Paul had to like run down there and be like, Lord, can you help me out with reviving this? That's on me. That's my bad. That was my fault. Right? He rises again. Like, you know? So he would be the first to tell you, he's like, I wasn't great at speaking. I just was trying to do what Jesus was asking me to do, what Jesus wanted me to do. And we see the same in the disciples, this unlikely family that started all of it, right? Matthew, he was a tax collector. What? Like, he was a betrayer of the Jews. How's God going to use him, right? But he had learned, and he was educated, and he was literate, and he could write, and he was a Jew, and he could understood all of the history of the Jews. And so if you read the Gospel of Matthew, because sometimes you're like, why do we have four Gospels, right? If you read the Gospel of Matthew, it is to the Jews. Is it for us as well? Yes, of course, it's for us as well. But if you see, it has a Jew bent because it's saying, hey, look, there's callbacks. If you read Matthew, there's callbacks to the Old Testament all the time, constantly, because he's making the case that Jesus is the Messiah that has all the prophets and everybody we're talking about in the Old Testament. So there's a specific purpose for Matthew's Gospel. John, who wrote a Gospel, right? His is all about Jesus loves you. Because I'm not exactly sure how he loved me, and there's some not great stories of John himself in there, right? But he does, and he loves you the same. And so you see this love approach and angle that John has in his gospel, and it's beautiful. And how Jesus is constantly talking about how loved we are by the Father, how much he loves us. They all have different purposes, right? The fishermen. The ones that he called that were fishermen understood what it meant to be patient. That's why it's called fishing, not catching, right? They understood what it was to be patient, to get to your goal. So when they were fishing for people now with Jesus, not fish, they understood what it was to be patient and continue. They weren't perfect at it by any means, but they understood the mentality behind it. Simon the Zealot, you want to talk, it's in his name, Zealot, right? There was no more singularly focused person. Jesus had him in there for a reason. They all had a part to play, but Jesus was the foundation. Jesus was the foundation. A little bit later in his letter, Paul uses one of the absolute, I think, best analogies for this. Okay, so if you skip ahead with me to chapter 12, all right, chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians, and he's going to use this amazing analogy of the body of Christ. We are all a part of the body of Christ, all right? Jesus is the head, which he'll talk about, and then we are all a part of that. And so it starts out in verse 12, and it says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the whole body, okay? You all have a human body, I'm from what I can tell. All right, so you understand this analogy, right? So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, some of us are free. That's just our circumstance. That doesn't even get into the gifts and talents and purposes we have. But we all have been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. It all functions together, right? It all functions together. Can you imagine if you or I went into the gym and only focused on one body part for a while? How weird would that look? Right? We're all out of whack, and you know, because we just focused on one body part. God's not going to play favorites with that. They all serve a purpose. They all serve a purpose. So in 14 through 17, he talks about, we're going to just skip ahead a little bit here, but in 14 through 17, he talks about how one can't see favorite as the other, okay? Because they all play a vital role. If you take one out, it messes with the whole system. It messes with the whole system, right? We can't think of one as more important than the other. And then he picks up in verse 18 here, and it says, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it, just where he wants it. He created you. He gifted you. He gave you a purpose just like he wants it. And if you are not in that, and if you are not embracing that, you're basically telling him, no, you didn't. I don't recommend doing that. I understand it. Because it's hard. And I don't want to ever dismiss how hard it can be. But if we're not embracing the gifts and the talents that God has given us, and we're not working really, really, really hard with him every day to go, what is my purpose in you, Lord? Then we're telling him, I don't trust you with how you've gifted me. I don't trust you with how you've made me, even though he's done it exactly the way that he wants it. How strange a body would it be if we only had one part? I don't even want to think about that. It would be disturbing, I think, in a lot of ways, right? If we only had one part, it'd be weird. Like, we can't even imagine that, right? We can't even imagine that. Yes, there are many parts, but there's only one body. There's only one body. We should all be encouraging each other. We should all be building each other up. We should all be so excited for each other when we're doing things for Christ. It's not about us. It's not about us. We're all one body. Christ is the head. So we should be glorifying the head. That's what drives everything. That's what makes everything possible. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. It's all purposeful. It's all vital. We need all those parts. Think about when you've either done something for the first time or you've done something for the first time in a really long time. You guys know what I'm talking about? Usually like an active thing of some kind, and then the next day you're like, I didn't even know I had that muscle, right? What if you didn't have it? Would you have been able to do what you did? And you didn't even realize it was there. Pastor Mike up in the church that I was at in Wilmington before he came down here, he had a phrase that he would say all the time. He would say, if God is the creator of life, then he alone gets to define it. Are we accepting of that? And he wraps this piece up with, he says in verse 27, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you has a part in it. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? He gave it to you. It's true whether you believe it or not. Do you understand what your gifts and talents are in him? Do you understand what your purpose is? We all play an important role. So ask yourself this right here. Are you looking to someone else's gifts and talents? Or are you asking God what yours are and embracing them? Do you find yourself looking over at different gifts and talents, either within our own family here at River Run or in God's family as a whole, or even outside of God's family, at who you might invite in for purposeful reasons and specific reasons? Instead of looking at the way that God has blessed you, gifted you, talented you, because it is beautiful, it is amazing, and it's on purpose. Think about that. Think about you. In Psalms, it tells us we are beautifully and wonderfully made. And on the days that you don't feel like that, I encourage you just to think about how you were made on purpose. You are not a mistake. Your gifts are not a mistake. Your talents are not a mistake. Your purpose is not a mistake. It's for his glory. It's for his kingdom. And he wants you to embrace them and use them. Are you? Or are we looking all over the other place at different things? Remember this. You are Jesus' favorite. I know it sounds impossible, but we're all his favorite. Like I said, he came and died for all of us. He has given each of us the exact gifts and talents we have. And we must understand others' gifts and talents and embrace our own. We need to embrace our own. We need to understand them and thank God for them, constantly be working in how he can use them for his glory. And we need to understand it as a part of the whole, that we're excited about others as well, and we're working together, and we're celebrating and lifting each other up and all of that together for the purpose of the head of our family and the head of our body, Jesus. We can't play favorites. We can't follow anybody else other than Jesus, because they will fail you 100%. Jesus will not. I promise you that. So as we enter into our response time that we have here. That is my hope for you. That as we kind of dim the lights down, that you would, whether it's here in your seat there, that you would just go, Lord, what is my purpose? Or if you feel like you're already kind of down that road a little bit, Lord, am I in the right purpose? Did I hear you correctly? Am I going in the right direction? Lord, am I understanding the gifts and talents that you've given me correctly? If not, help me, correct me. And if I haven't ever asked that question, then maybe I do. If you're not sure what that looks like to sit individually in a seat and do that, we're going to have some of our prayer partners up here at the crosses. Love to pray with you. I'll be down right here as well. We'd love to pray with you about that. What does that look like? How can I be a part of the body? Not so that I become the focus, but that Jesus remains the focus as I work together with everyone else for that purpose. We also have on either side here, we have the table, the communion, the bread and the juice, that we remember why Jesus can be the only one that is our focus. Because there is no one else who bled and died for you and defeated death for you so that we can live in abundance in him, glorifying him, and in the gifts and talents that he has given us. So we have that as well. At the back, we have the baskets. We also have online. A lot of you give as well. And again, there's no transaction. That's not our heart. That's not God's heart. It's simply another form of worship that we just recognize. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've given us. We want to contribute to the body of Christ in this way, that you would take that for whatever your means are. So as I pray and we break for this, and then we're going to worship together in the song, think about what your gifts and talents are. Think about what your purpose is. Re-embrace it, or maybe for the first time, embrace them and see the amazing things that he has for you. Lord, we thank you so much. Thank you so much for your love, your grace, your mercy. We thank you for all those gifts and talents represented just an unbelievable amount, even here in this room. So beautiful, so different, so amazing. They can all work together for you. And if we didn't think you were a big God and a deep God and a wide God, even just that right there is incredible. That we can all be so different, so amazing, in all these different ways and work towards the purpose of glorifying you and praising you. So I ask that you would help us with that. I pray that over everyone in here, that we would be embracing and coming to you on what, how you've purposed us, how you've gifted us, how you've talented us, and that we would be able to take a step forward in what that looks like for your glory and for your kingdom. We love you and we thank you for all this. In Jesus' name, amen.